It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in to Cabali and Mack. He's Mark Cabali, veteran Steelers reporter. I'm Chris Mack, just a guy that talks on the radio sometimes, but we're both massive Steeler fans and can't wait to talk to you today about Russ moving on. Russ is gone. Thank you to all the beautiful people joining us to talk about Russ, to talk about Aaron Rodgers, to talk about Mason Rudolph, to talk about everything else that we might get into today. We might paint a very vivid picture for you today of the quarterback situation in Pittsburgh. You see what I'm doing there, Kaboom, with our special mystery guest? You see what
about
I did
11
there?
O'clock, about 11 o'clock, a very popular gentleman is going to join us and share his story and his sports story and his Pittsburgh story with us.
Yep, Pittsburgher, Yinzer, just like us, who is wildly successful at what he does. And we'll stop dropping hints, but he'll join us at 11 o'clock this morning. So in about 30 minutes, thanks as always to the Dan Heck team, the presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mack. Go to heckteamhomes.com. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, all waiting for you at heckteamhomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. You see it on the screen there. heckteamhomes.com. The Dan Heck team. Ready to take care of you. And I forgot to raffle or to give away one of those Whitehall Fire Company F-150 tickets yesterday on social media. So we'll have to do, maybe we'll do that tomorrow in between everything else we have.
We got another special guest tomorrow, right?
Another special guest tomorrow night, I guess tomorrow night will kind of serve as Friday's show. We don't really plan these things out that far in advance. We kind of just text each other on a Sunday and say, hey, when do you want to do these shows this week?
Yeah, we don't do meetings. I mean,
no,
I mean the old
that's not true. We do. We have one weekly meeting we have every Friday afternoon.
Open the door
when you send me a one word text from outside the main door at the Odyssey Pittsburgh headquarters. For those not in the know, I do afternoons on Y108 playing Mark's favorite Shaboozy. Every 45 minutes, and next door to 93.7 The Fan, where I used to work. And so Mark will text me just a simple horse. That's all it says, horse. And I know that I should look up from whatever I'm doing, or if I'm back in one of the production studios, walk out and let him in because they refuse to give him a key card to allow him into the building for his weekly hits with the Fan Morning Show and the PM team. So that is our one weekly meeting when we see each other.
I do the same thing with Crowley, too, on Monday mornings, but I normally write ass, and he just opens it.
And he answers. He responds to that.
Yeah.
Good for him. So thanks to all of you again for joining us. We will raffle off another one of those tickets for the – or I guess giveaway on social media, another one of those tickets for the Ford F-250 or F-150? Yeah, it's a 150 STX that the Whitehall Fire Company is giving away. My brain's all over the place because we have a big guest and we have a lot to talk about this morning, Kaboom. A lot to talk about because Russell Wilson, the break glass in case of emergency quarterback – we thought maybe just in case Aaron Rodgers ends up spurning the Steelers, is gone. He's off to New York to play for the New York Giants this year at least $10.5 million per year, maximum of $21 million per year, it sounds like. It'll be somewhere in that range based on incentives and snaps and all that. So, first of all, we're going to get Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston on the same team. I wish the Giants had not already been on Hard Knocks last year because I'd love to see them on it again this year just to see the behind the scenes of Russ and Jameis together in the same quarterback room. But the first thing, before we get into how this affects the Steelers quarterback position specifically, is what the hell led to this? I know we've heard the rumors of Russ and Arthur Smith not necessarily getting along down the stretch, that maybe Russ took some responsibilities or privileges away from Russell Wilson after the win over the Bengals, which would just absolutely dumbfound or mystify me why you would take anything away from him after the offense's best performance of the year. But is it just that? Is it something else behind the scenes? What does the big Kaboom know about why the Steelers suddenly soured on Russ over the last 5 weeks, aside from the fact that they couldn't get anything going on offense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think if you look at how he played the last 5 weeks and say, you just write that off, we do not want him back. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense because he played maybe not as well as he did the first six games, but he did play okay enough in those final five games, even though there was a lot of stuff going on around him with offensive line, defensive line, and such, just to totally write him off right now. So you have to make the assumption it is behind closed doors. And during Tomlin's exit meeting, last meeting of the media session last year, is if you recall, I asked him about Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson's relationship, maybe because I knew something beforehand.
Maybe.
I wanted to see his reaction to it, and he said they were fine. But it had to be something. Like it had to be based off of that, because if not, he would at least still have been in the conversation right now. I mean, maybe it is just circumstantial, too. It's hard to tell because the Steelers aren't going to let you know, and Ross is not going to let you know. That's for sure. It could be just circumstantial that they know that Aaron Rodgers is coming, and Russell has to, you know, do what's best for Russell, and that's find a job, a potential starting job. I guess he's going to be – yeah, I mean, just by money alone,
yeah,
you imagine he's the starting – job there, but something went sour after, you know, the last month or so of the season, where I was definitely informed that Arthur was and Russell were not very fond of each other at that point. I mean, you wouldn't been able to tell. You wouldn't been able to tell by how they reacted, how they met on the field, but behind closed doors, apparently it was worse, and some maybe people were saying it was, so you just have to go with that assumption right now, unless you hear otherwise, that they chose the guy with a 3-year contract over the guy who's 37 years old.
I just, the only thing that would make sense in my mind would be Arthur Smith getting frustrated with the way Russ played in some of those big moments down the stretch in Philly, in Baltimore, against Kansas City, trying to rein him back in and get him to calm down and get back to the guy he was in his first seven starts and not being able to. And the only reason I say that is because I was rewatching NFL Network re-aired the in-season Hard Knocks over the weekend. And so I was watching some of that, and there was a really interesting moment in the Philly game that I don't know if you remember this or not, where Mike Tomlin's on the headset. And I assume he's talking to Artie. I don't know.
I think he flips back and forth, but yeah.
Yeah, but he's saying, it's okay. Just three's going to be fine. Just talking that calm, soothing voice. He's going to be good. He's going to be fine. It was after a turnover, I think. And so Tomlin's trying to get somebody. Again, I'm inferring that it's Arthur Smith to sort of stay calm and just relax Russ in the moment. And I wonder if maybe Arthur Smith was trying to do that, Mike Tomlin was trying to do that, and Russ, after playing so well the first seven starts, tried to get, got out over his skis a little bit and started trying to do too much in Philly, the fumble on the goal line in Baltimore, all these different things. And all of a sudden they were like, listen, Russ, we need to get you back to what you were the first seven starts when you were just managing things. And he refused to do that for whatever reason. He thought he needed to do more because they weren't scoring. And that created some kind of fracture where they were like, listen, if you don't do what we're asking you to do, then we're going to shackle you. No more checks at the line. We'll tell you what to do. You do it or we're done here.
Yeah, you know what? Late in that season, we heard a lot of the defensive people talking about players doing their jobs and they have to be accountable. And we just make the assumption that it was defense they were talking about, which I do still believe they did. But maybe there was some point of that pointed in the other direction of, hey, Russ, you need to do what is asked of you. But on the flip side of that, man, they were playing so well at that point. Why would you want to hinder him at all of what he was doing? They were doing whatever they were doing was working. I don't blame Russell Wilson for fumbling at the goal line in Baltimore.
I don't blame him for that either. Like he's trying to make a play, but I think I don't blame any individual competitor for trying to score a touchdown in that situation.
Yeah.
But I think that might be in and of itself like the one play microcosm, the snapshot of what happened between Russ and the Steelers' brain trust towards the end of the season. They would have preferred he just slide at the 3-yard line there and live to fight another day. And he was trying to do too much because they had scored 13 points in Philly. The offense wasn't really clicking yet then in Baltimore. And he's trying to do too much, trying to do too much. And they didn't want that. They wanted a guy, and ironically enough, if they bring in Rodgers, you would think Rodgers is not going to be a guy who's going to sit back and not occasionally try to do too much. But maybe they're okay with a future Hall of Famer, a multiple-time MVP, trying to do too much, and they weren't okay with Russ in that situation.
I think that's what you're going to have to worry about moving forward here. More than maybe if Aaron Rodgers can do the job. I mean, now you have to look how Russ left and some of the things we heard. That now, is Arthur Smith going to be on board here?
Are we back to an offensive coordinator problem, which seems to resurface every year?
Unless Arthur has me totally fooled as well. He doesn't seem like that guy. He seems like he's a smart enough individual to be able to manipulate his offense into what needs to be done here. But if you're having issues with Russell Wilson, whatever it was for not sticking to the plan, what do you expect number 12 or number 8
right.
Arthur's number is going to be to do? I still think Arthur Smith is a good coordinator. 3/4 of the way through the season, we're like, man, we can tell he's different than Matt Canada. Then all of a sudden, he stinks. And a lot of people are giving me grief on the Russell Wilson scapegoat comment. I'm talking about the last 5 games of the season there where everything seems to be now put on Russell Wilson, and that's why they stunk the last 5. There was a dozen different things there, brother.
And I'm not going to disagree with you on the fact that the last 5 weeks of the season weren't just about Russ, right? I'll totally agree with you in that respect. But I don't think Russ's entire tenure in Pittsburgh boils down to the word scapegoat. I think it boils down to he was what Russ is. Like,
I just meant at the end of the last five games, why it went south so bad.
No, I think that's fair. A lot of fans soured on Russ in the last 5 weeks because the offense couldn't do anything, but the defense sure as hell wasn't helping him out. And I get that. We talked about that a lot in the immediate aftermath of the season.
The offensive line stunk. They couldn't run the ball.
Right.
I mean, there was nothing there at that point. The defense was giving up 22 play drives, so it wasn't all Russ's fault. He could have played better, yeah, but maybe if he was 28 and not 38 – that's the difference there.
Well, so instead we're going to
pick up. He has some weapons. We tend to forget, Matt, there was times when his wide receivers were Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, and Calvin Austin and Scotty Miller.
Yeah. Pickens missed time down the stretch, which can't be discounted either. Our guy Styles, relaxed Styles. What if Artie isn't successful with 2 capable Hall of Fame quarterbacks if Rodgers signs? Does he get the hot seat? I mean, he has to.
No, it's a 3-year deal. We've learned this over the past 30 years. No.
That boils down to just not wanting to pay a guy to not work, right? That's the simple Rooney calculus of, well, he's got to finish his deal. We can't pay him for a year for not working. If he's not getting his job done, then you pay a guy to go away. That's what you do.
Or you bring another guy in to help him out where he gets pissed enough that he leaves on his own accord, right?
bring Canada Fechner, that brain trust, back around, I guess. No thanks. So, all right, if the Arthur Smith, Russell Wilson thing didn't work at the end, that explains somewhat a pretty quick fracture in the relationship and the fact that they didn't seem at all interested in bringing him back. Here's my next question, and I asked you this right before we started the stream. How does this comp pick formula work? Because
I want to tell you, bro. Don't be asking me.
I know. You failed algebra 5 times.
Yeah, my kid wanted me to do a simple division last night. I had no clue. No, adding fractions. I'm like, Siri, what's 1/5 plus 2/5 plus 6/5?
It
came out as 2, and I'm like, I have no idea how that happened.
No, wait, 1/5 plus 2/5 plus 6/5?
It was like 1/10, 2/10, and 6/10, and it came out as 2 was the answer.
You add the top numbers as long as the bottom numbers are the same. It's that
simple. But then it came out to 11/10 or something.
Right.
How's that a whole number now?
It's not a whole number. You screwed up somewhere.
Fourth grade, I can't help you.
Brother, I spent 45 minutes on compound and complex and simple sentences last night with language arts. So don't even get me started.
Hey, you know what? My daughter also is starting to do state capitals. So that's my wheelhouse.
Oh, your daughter's still a few years away from this.
Forget it. I'm past the math. I'm like, what homework do you have? Math. I'm like, go to your mom.
Well, you're a few years away from having to worry about this kaboom. My daughter got her permit yesterday.
Ooh. So right at 16.
Yep.
I actually got my permit in the mail 2 days before I turned my 16th birthday. And I, back in 1904,
back in our day.
You only had to do an obstacle course to get your test. So many hours, so you could go the next day if you wanted to.
So she got her permit, but now these days you got to wait another 6 months before you can get your license.
Which is right.
Which is good because my wife told me she took her for a quick little spin after they left the DMV yesterday afternoon, and it was not pretty. So it's going to take some time. If you see a beat up GMC with Terrain wandering the streets of Jefferson Hills, you'll know it's mine and she's probably dinged it into something. But
Pony's burner account, it's Montpelier. Don't try to get me on Vermont.
State capital god, Mark Cabali.
Well, we get off on a tangent just because you're asking me about the compensatory picks.
Yeah, the compensatory
picks. Nobody knows what it really is.
Wait, this is the first time. We've been doing this for a little over 2 months now. This is episode number 31. This is the first time you have ever been the one to get the conversation back on track, and I want to applaud you for that. Great work by you. Okay, so how the hell does this work? Because Russ signed, like I said, for $10.5 million, but can max out the deal at 21. Yeah. Now, the compensatory pick, you told me this, and I think most fans would know this. You got to lose more free agents than you sign. Right. If you lose more free agents than you sign,
or eligible free agents, yes.
Okay.
Who fits into that formula? Formula that the NFL does not put on paper.
Yeah, that nobody knows for some reason. It's like the freaking Super 2 thing in baseball. Yeah. So if you lose more free agents than you sign, then you become eligible for compensatory picks.
You're totally out.
Say
they go on a spree here and. Whatever, and sign. They have to be street free agents. They're not your own guys. The guys you lose or the guys you sign, then you would lose them all. You would just not be eligible for picks.
Okay, but they most likely, because there's not really that many street free agents still out there worthy of signing, will be eligible for compensatory picks. Yeah. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, does Aaron Rodgers count against this formula if they sign him?
No, because they released him.
Right. Okay, I wanted to clear that up because people are going to think, oh, signing Rodgers is going to count against the formula. It won't at all.
He was still under contract, right?
Yes, and the Jets decided to sever that contract and release him. So that won't count against things. However it shakes out, it has to do with the amount of money they make and how many snaps they see, right?
Yeah, I mean this is a formula that's year long that I know of, and they won't officially announce them till next year at this time. So the year has to play out, and there's a big formula with stats, incentives, money made, and all that type of stuff you sign for to get to that point. But for most right now, what it looks like is what a lot of people are projecting, like a couple threes and maybe a four to go along with their seven picks. So they have 11. That's too many for next year. They wouldn't want that. So you got one of two options, move a couple this year, which they probably could and probably would.
Right.
You can't trade the picks you don't have. So what I'm saying is you can't assume that you're getting those four picks because you don't really can't trade them because you don't know if you have them or not.
Right, but you can trade your original picks.
You can trade your original third or whatever.
And then you'd have the comp picks, which, again, you guys can check it out yourself at overthecap.com because – as Kaboom mentioned, he failed algebra 5 times, and I'm having trouble with basic sentence structure with my kids' language arts homework. So neither one of us is going to walk you through this as accurately as the Over the Cap website can, but it explains if a guy's in the top 5% of contract, which I would think means we want to root for Russ to do well in New York.
Yeah, you want all of them to start, all of them to do well who left.
Yeah.
At least those top four.
Because then he'll fulfill all those incentives. He'll end up making 21 mil next year, and he'll end up maybe in the top 5% of quarterback contracts to be signed. And then we'll be able to say, okay, yay, they get a third round pick for Russ signing with New York instead of a fifth round pick.
And the popular story right now is they're setting up for next year to get a quarterback. I do believe we said that here.
Somebody
about
said
3 weeks
that
ago.
Yeah, I think that was your guys, Kabali and Mac. It was mostly Mark, honestly, and I just followed along with it.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really dealt with compensatory picks over the past couple of years because they were in the buying mode rather than the selling mode. Maybe this is all part of the plan, but it makes sense. I mean, you're not going to move. If you win 8, 9, 10 games, you're going to be a 20th overall pick, right? It's going to be hard to get to that point where you can get a surefire quarterback, or at least when you feel good about. So I guess the best case scenario is you win the 7 games or whatever that number would be. You'd be 17th, 16th in the draft, 15th maybe. Then you package some picks to move up maybe to the 10 or the 9 spot, then you're right in that range of, you know, the Pat Mahomes of the past years, Ben Roethlisberger, where there's really, really solid quarterbacks, but maybe that not number one overall guy, but a guy you would feel quite comfortable with. I mean, that has to be the plan. I mean, because you think about it now, you can't keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
5 straight years now with a new starting quarterback, week one.
That's just
5 straight years. There's only the Falcons have more consecutive, and you're looking at what, 2 straight years of total quarterback room revamps, and you're looking about 8 starting quarterbacks who started games since
we are old enough.
You can't win like that.
We are old enough to remember the post Bradshaw. Pre-O'Donnell years, right? Or pre-Cordell years, I guess.
Yeah, we thought O'Donnell was like the god.
He did have like 9 come-from-behind victories that 1 year. They went to the Super Bowl, I think.
Yeah, but from the 84-ish. I mean, we even thought Bubby was pretty good.
David Woodley, Mark Malone. Then there was Bubby. Then there was O'Donnell. Then after that, after Cordell, there was Ken Graham, Tommy Maddox, Tommy Gunn.
We thought Tommy was – I mean, Cordell was obviously – I mean, you know, late 90s, early 2000, you know, like mid to late 90s. I mean, that's like the forgotten era of Steelers ball. They were really, really good, but they just were losing.
So my point was we've been in the quarterback wilderness before. You brought up drafting quarterbacks. I want to go back into something as it relates to Arthur Smith and maybe drafting a quarterback in a couple minutes. But first, we got to thank Southwest Greens for sponsoring the show as well. You want to get your yard done? It's the perfect time of year to do it. And what I mean by getting your yard done is not spraying a whole bunch of chemicals all over it and then waiting for it to finally green up. No, I mean actually getting a green lawn, an artificial surface that feels just like real grass, acts just like real grass for the kids, for the pets, for your family. You can get it done. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and they will come on out and tell you exactly what they can do. Maybe the whole yard. Maybe they can do a little patch around the kids' play set in the back, a little spot around the pool maybe if you have one. Maybe just a little putting area because you're a golfer and the Masters are right around the corner and you'd like to practice so you can pretend that you're at Augusta. It'll look and feel like Augusta in your backyard. southwestgreenspa.com. Thanks again to them for sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. We mentioned a special surprise mystery guest who would be able to paint a vivid picture of what may be happening in Steelers quarterback land. And for those that didn't pick up on the hints or the clues, here he is, Cody Sable, nationally recognized a speed painter, a yinzer at heart, just like us, joining Kabali and Mac. Cody, good morning, man. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I didn't know this was live. The pressure is enormous now.
Whoa. You can paint a painting in 4 minutes.
Right.
You think talking to these two schlubs are pressure?
Well, the painting comes easy to me. Talking, not so much.
To Mark's point, I've seen you paint someone upside down in like 5 minutes. And then you do that thing where you spit. I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm looking at it like one of those. You remember how they used to have the stand at the mall with the hidden pictures, and you'd have to stare at it for like 10 minutes before you could see the little tiny sailboat. I'm looking at it. I'm like, what is that? What is it? And then you flip it around. I'm like, oh my God, that's whoever. What's his name? Pedro Pascal, or you don't just do like Pittsburgh athletes. You're doing everybody across the world.
Yeah, I started doing like more universally loved people or pop culture references since we started getting more and more followers. Because, you know, Pittsburgh, I don't think is even in my top five cities as far as where people follow me,
really? Anymore,
which is really weird. Yeah, it's like New York City's number one, Jakarta, two.
What?
Mexico City, number three. LA's number four. And then I think that fifth spot is like Dallas, Texas. So I will always be painting Pittsburgh things, but the audience is so broad and weird now that it's like, well, I guess I'll paint Taylor Swift for the 15th time because I don't know what people are into anymore.
That was great. I mean, I don't think people realize your connection with sports, Cody. First of all, you were a star athlete in high school and college. I mean, people might not know that, right?
You know I wasn't a star athlete.
You played some ball. You played some college ball.
I played some college ball. I was a captain of my high school and college teams. Played a little quarterback in college. Played a little outside linebacker in college. I tried to put myself in a position to get on the field. So if we had we got some transfer quarterbacks in, and then it was sort of like if I wanted to see the field, you gotta move around a little bit. So that's when I switched to outside linebacker, and then we had quarterbacks graduate. So I went back to quarterback my senior year, and there was this big fight between the offense and defensive coordinator about what to do with me. And it was the first time in my life where anyone was fighting for me to be in a position and not trying to get rid of me.
So hold on. Where'd you grow up, Cody? Where'd you go to high school? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Norman High School. I graduated in 2013. Don't look up our football record during those years.
Probably covered you, Cody. I was working at McKeesport at the time. I probably was out there.
I got my first varsity passing touchdown against McKeesport at Tiger Stadium. Yeah.
That's
so you probably
was it 68-7 or what was the final there?
Wasn't 60. It was probably like 45-14, something like that. You know, they were good. It was the Eddie Stockett era of McKeesport, and he was great. He was awesome. But I think everybody was surprised because I only got sacked once that game. Typically, I'm used to taking just an absolute beating.
I mean, it could have been 10 years earlier in like the Brandon Short era of McKeesport, and you could have really eaten it.
Oh, well, there was that Gateway game. The Gateway,
that Gateway game.
The Gateway game. I was the starting quarterback for Norman. I think we lost like 85-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do a lot of NIL gigs for Penn State. And I am just so ready to bump into Terry Smith. So ready.
That was the best team in the tri-state area.
I think all four of their defensive backs played like really good college football, like LSU and Penn State, and they were incredible. I had 11 passing yards that game.
You'll have to ask Terry if he remembers the 84-0 Norwin game.
Oh, I'm sure he does. It's like the greatest. It's the biggest deficit. I was listening to the radio one time. I was listening to sports radio around that era because I would like fall asleep to like, you know, just anything. Now I fall asleep to like podcasts and stuff. But back then they were talking about like, you know, the Saints, I think, were beating up on Atlanta one game, and Drew Brees was like still throwing the ball deep into the fourth, and they were already up by like four touchdowns. And I forget who the radio host was, but they were like, "This isn't Lock Haven beating up on whoever. This isn't Gateway beating the snot out of Norwin." I just reached over to my iHome and I just clicked the power button. I was like, "Off, going to bed."
So how'd you? Where'd you go to college? I'm sorry. And how did you pivot into art? When did you figure out you could do stuff like this? Were you like always a doodler in school or what?
I was always a doodler in school. I was constantly drawing like as a kid and stuff. So I was always doing it as a kid. I went through the Norwin like art. It's not really a program, but like I took every art class that I could take because it was just like an easy grade for me. You know what I mean? Like I always just loved it. I never once thought about it being like a job or anything like that. And when I got to college, I had like kind of not done any art. I was so focused on football because, like, you know, you could play D3 or like Power 5 football. It's like it's your life when you're in college. You're a student athlete. So I was kind of drawing and painting when I got to college to like sort of get away from it, because you'd wake up and go to weights and go to class and go to practice and go to film and then go to study hall, and then you'd start it all over the next day. It like some days it was so I used art to sort of like break it up, you know, break up my focuses throughout the day. And I remember sitting at study hall and I was drawing, and I drew a picture of Russell Wilson. I drew a picture of Russell Wilson.
I can put it back here somewhere.
And people were like, "That's like really good." And obviously you just feed off the attention and you're like, all right, maybe I'll just start doing this more and more. And then I linked up with a band who they were all worship majors because I went to a Christian university, and I played at Kentucky Christian University. I don't know if I'd said that, but I had a group of guys that were like in their own like worship group. Like they would do stuff for the school. And then over here, they would play this like indie rock music. And they were good. Like, they were good. Some of the guys that like were coming through like KCU and playing in these bands, like one of the bands has played at Lollapalooza for like the last 5 years or something like that. Like,
what's the name of it?
I want to be very careful in how I pronounce this. Ooh. They're called Mother Folk.
Mother Folk.
And they're actually pretty good. I really enjoy some of their music, but like, there was the really talented kids. So I would draw and paint while these guys would practice and play. And then we would like get into a van at like 10:30 PM. So I'd go through that entire day of football. We'd get in a van and we'd go to like Lexington, Kentucky, and we'd play a bar until like 2 AM. And then I'd get up for weights at 6:30.
Oh, brutal.
I loved it. I loved every single, I'd paint the most ridiculous stuff. I'd paint like Yoda with like aviator sunglasses on and like a DJ like headset on, and I'd paint like a monkey in a space suit, and it was just like it was just so much fun.
Cody, I don't think people realize how fascinating of a story you have, and let me take us back to right around the COVID years, right? Everything shut down, your live event's gone, all of a sudden you get a call from one Pittsburgh Steeler. Could you take us through that story and how that one call might have just, I believe you had a newborn baby. You're probably struggling like everybody else was. Get that call and things changed from that point over. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So I had like, COVID was a really obviously difficult time for a lot of people. So my story isn't unlike anybody else's, but so I remember sitting at home and I was watching just ESPN, and there was that whole like Mark Cuban looking at his phone like and like freaking out because apparently he just got the text that you know, that the NBA season just got canceled. And I was just sitting at home and I got my 4-month-old baby. I'm 24 or 25 at the time, and like just thinking, well, that's probably not good. That if the NBA season could get canceled, do you think the Invincible Gala in Raleigh, North Carolina is still going to happen? It's like, yeah. No. So I when I went to bed, three gigs had canceled. When I woke up, the rest of my year had been canceled. And we were like, what are we going to do? So I was just trying to do anything, like anything and everything to, you know, sort of, from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, I was painting. And then like, Devin Bush had texted me and was like, what's up, man? Do you want to paint my basement? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So I just spent the whole summer at Devin Bush's house painting his entire basement. And we, you know, like, he is the world's most interesting person.
Yeah.
He is, first of all, he's a lot of fun. He has the wildest ideas. So it was like whatever idea that like I had, you just take it up two or three notches. There's I did his basement, and then he moved like a year later, which I was like, oh, dude, we should have maybe done it on canvas instead.
Yeah.
And I wonder what happened to that place. I'm sure they like painted over it. If not, that would just be, I would think about a family of four living in that place with a big bush mural in the basement.
Was it just pictures of Devin that he had you paint, or was it like other stuff that he was into?
So like when you paint for athletes, like you paint stuff that like motivates them. Like it's a weird thing because I think in people's brains, people are like assume that if I'm painting a picture of that athlete in their basement, it's like just super vain and super like look at me kind of thing, which, you know, we've been around athletes for a long time. We know that like that's part of it. Like that could be a part of it. I just think that they like they're on a different brain wavelength than most people as far as like what it takes to motivate them. And I do think that players seeing themselves in their jerseys, in artwork is like it's something to like live up to. Cause I don't know if we ever get like a job that's like high up and we ever feel like comfortable in it, but it's like still even, you know, I even think TJ Watt sees his Steelers helmet and thinks about that. He needs to like bring it every single time because there's an expectation of him. There's an expectation of the uniform. Like people, you know, in some little way, it's like they owe it to the fans. So doing things like for Devin was, I would say like 50% like do this cool painting of me and like 50% like motivation. Yeah. There was also like different times in his career, especially at like Michigan and, you know, things like the big accolades and the things that like his draft night and, you know, all the big plays at Michigan that I put in there too. But also he was like 20 when he hired me. So like it was,
a lifetime's full of experiences to paint on the wall yet.
Right. And I think he would just wanted cool stuff.
Yeah.
I think he was just interested in just doing cool things. And I was like, yeah, we'll do that.
Did you get a sense that he was partly want his basement painted full of himself or trying to help out a guy in need? I mean, did you get a sense that there was a balance there at all, or was he just into his, this is a guy who can paint something for me?
I think that so there was an ESPN article written about it, and I don't think Devin had any idea that COVID would be affecting me. You know what I mean? Or like it wasn't a charitable thing, yeah, if that makes sense. The article was written as if it was like, we're going to help this guy out, which is fine because it was an ESPN article written about me. I just think I was like getting work still during COVID in places that like I wasn't typically getting it because I do live events and I'm not, you know, having Devin and getting that project during that time was like a huge help. I mean, it was like helped me for at least 5 or 6 months. You know, so the timing was just perfect.
Is that the ESPN article? Is that what started to get you more inquiries from people that were like, okay, now all of a sudden this blossoms and takes off into a whole other thing? Or what was that moment where you were like, oh, wait, this is more than just, you know, people around Pittsburgh or athletes or whatever it was, where it really started to mushroom?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'd been getting a lot of stuff in Pittsburgh up to that point. But also, like, I was not a good artist. I'm still, like, just barely. I'm, like,
get
barely
out of here.
Nobody's believing you.
Yeah. Like, when I was barely, like, comfortable at that point still in myself as an artist. And I think that, like, you know, it – that's a good question. I think it definitely helped. I think anytime you can, like, Google you yourself, or somebody Googles you and there's a whole ESPN article written about, I had the benefit of there not being sports. You know what right. I mean? Like, so what are these guys going to write about? I mean, even like Mark, you reached out to me during that time and you're like, I'm going to write something on him. And then Mark said, you know what? Sports are coming back. I don't need to do that anymore. And
you just gave me a dart.
Yeah, Kabali just cast you aside.
No, it's okay. I'm done. If I, but like, I think the ESPN article was just such a good help. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that there was anything negative. My manager didn't like it at all. She was like, "You need to, you need to figure out, like, how we're going to remedy this, because you just look like a charity case. You don't look like an official, like, artist." And I had to be, I just kind of had to be like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter at all. Yeah. Like, if anything, the Steelers look good. If anything, it showcases my artwork. Like, anyone that clicks on that article is still going to see, like, pictures of me and my stuff. It's like, I don't think it mattered, like, at all. There's that weird, delicate balance as an artist where you have to protect your value and protect your brand and things like that. But I've never, like, focused too hard on that. And in some areas that I do, like, you know, I take really good care of, like, the type of music I play and the words that I use in several things, because, like, I want anyone that goes into my social media and see that, you know, to see that I don't cuss or anything like that. Like, I don't want parents to ever have to worry if their kids are, like, watch me paint Super Mario in 10 minutes, that, like, there's going to be a song in there that cusses or whatever. And if I paint Post Malone, you know how hard it is to find a Post Malone song to be in the background that doesn't cuss or anything like that. So, like, there are things that I take care of. But, like, as it pertains to, like, my value or whatever, I'm just out here trying to have fun. Wait, I'm going to get a phone charger. I don't have Google Chrome downloaded, so I couldn't get the thing. I'm scrambling. Hold on.
Funny you should say that, because my laptop goes out of battery about every 2 seconds. I got about 13% myself, so.
I'm just trying to figure out how to download Google Chrome. I'm, like, panicking in the background of this podcast. I know this is, like, this
you're is totally good.
This is what we do.
Cody, I'll be honest. This is what I deal with Mark about 90% of the time, is him fighting with whatever virtual background he's going to use, or whether his laptop's actually charged or not.
The other day, it just shut off, and he's talking to me, and all of a sudden I disappeared. I'm like, I might have hit the wrong button.
Yeah, I just and then it's asking me about the launch pad, and I'm like, I don't know what. Oh wait, here it is.
You're all brother.
This is what this is. If this is a microcosm of the entire podcast, this is it.
This is it. This is the show. This is the Seinfeld moment. This is the show.
Let me get into the Chrome real quick. I just downloaded it.
You're good. You don't have to worry about it. Seriously, you're totally fine. We get a world-renowned artist on here who's humble enough to be like, yeah, I'm okay. I don't know. And you're worried about whether you're on the right browser or not. You're totally cool, brother. Totally. So
let me switch over real quick.
Okay, go ahead. Switch over.
We could talk crap on him when he's gone.
No, we're not going to talk. He just popped, literally popped right back on. He's good. Hold on. Let me just bring him in here. This is the beauty of live streaming. Everything just happens in the moment. Look at it. Oh, there he is.
We made it just in the nick of time. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great. So what is the craziest request or craziest like contact you've received? You mentioned Peyton Taylor Swift like 15 times. Was it actually like Taylor Swift's people or somebody? Or like what's the wildest, most famous person you've heard from, you think?
Well, that's a good question. No, it wasn't Taylor Swift's people. It was actually my sister, Taylor, because I remember back in the day, like summer of 23. This is when I had like no followers. I think I had like 18,000 followers at this point, and they were all from Pittsburgh. And I had like asked some people, I was like, well, what should I paint? Because I was just starting to get into like the video content creation side of things. And then my sister Taylor was like, well, Taylor Swift's coming to town like next weekend for the Eras Tour. Why don't you paint that? So I did. Like, I was like, that's genius. I should do that. And the way I think it works is like they show it to a percentage of your followers, and then everybody's all psyched up because they're going to see Taylor Swift in a couple of days. So it got a bunch of likes right away. And then I don't know exactly how the algorithm works to this day, but then they take it and they go, well, let's show it to a broader audience and see how it does. And then it, like the video I did before that got like 250 likes. And then this one got like 185,000 likes or something like that. And I call it the Taylor. I owe Taylor Swift a big chunk of my career.
Yeah.
For this. And then things took off. I think from that day to like a year later, I think I'd gained like 150,000 followers.
I know you did what? Pirates, Penguins, Steelers. Did ever name pop up on your phone? And like, I can't believe Sidney Crosby's messaging me. I can't believe, Cam Hayward's messaging me. Is there any
You know who messes with me all the time?
Probably Cam.
No. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh.
All the time. And Ben stays like, he bullies me like a little brother. And I first of all, I love it. Like, I think it's hilarious. He asked, so I painted at his church, not more than like, this was this past Sunday. And we're in a group chat with with my best friend Spencer, who does the co-host of his podcast.
Yeah. Footballing.
Yeah. And he goes, why is Cody stretching before he paints? Did he get his ankles taped too? And I was like,
bro, why are you taking shots?
I was like, I'm almost 30. I'm feeling brittle. You know, I have three kids. But, after a little while, like, you just realize it's like a bunch of really cool guys with like, they're just super talented at what they do. I think it does wear off a little bit. There's a few times where I've been like, oh, that's cool that this person is here. But you know, I think the one time I painted down in San Antonio, Texas with George Strait was pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't get any footage. I actually took Spencer with me and I was just like, you can just get pictures. Now I deeply regret that.
Yeah.
It was, I wish I got the whole thing filmed, but I do have some pictures of me and George and, he was a super cool guy. Now I'm not a country guy.
Right.
So I just knew that he was on stage.
Right. But
everyone was dressed similar.
Yeah.
So when people were coming up to me and shaking I had to pretend like I knew which one was George Strait. So I'm treating everyone like I'm acting like I am just shocked and surprised to be there, which I am.
You are, but like, still.
Yeah. So painting with George Strait was pretty cool. What else? I met Aaron Taylor Johnson, the actor who was in movies like Bullet Train with Brad Pitt And he was just Kraven the Hunter. We were promoting that movie out in LA. I got brought out to like do a painting, and he like worked on the painting with me. Super cool guy.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah, just an unbelievable dude. I mean, everything is weird. Like, if you look at it through the context of me being a finger painter, like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that, like, the nice thing for you guys to be is like, no, but it's cool. But it's like, I'm painting with my hands, and
but you're arguably the best finger painter in the world, Cody. Like, that's the thing. It's not just like, it's not a 3-year-old smearing paint on a piece of paper in the art room in the basement of their local elementary school. It's like taking it to the 1,000th degree. You know what I mean?
Plus, it's smart business. Those brushes are expensive.
Brushes, brushes are actually so expensive that I, to this day, will just use what's available at Walmart. Like, there's a pack for like $7 at Walmart that I really love using. And, it's like a pack of 6, and if I need to use brushes, because I'll do like long form paintings that aren't like the performance paintings, I'll just use those. And I think that like it really does come down, if there's any, or I know a lot of artists listen to this show. If there are any artists out there, like, just use what you have.
Yeah.
Because when I was at school, like, the nearest Walmart was like 40 minutes away. Like, you couldn't get brushes unless they were like for painting your house. I couldn't afford like canvas. So what I would do is I would go to like the True Value store in Grayson, Kentucky, and I would get an 8-foot cut of Luon board. It's like this thick. And we would me and my buddy would go pick it up because we didn't have the right equipment. We didn't have anything. So I would drive, and I would have my hand out the window, and he would have his hand, and we would take it, and it's like wobbling back and forth. Like, and if we let go, like, it's like gonna be a serious problem.
Yeah.
It could do some damage to a car behind you. So, and then we would just cut that up into threes, and that's like what I would use. So that's like wild. Yeah, it's like super strange, super weird stuff, but like, just use what you have.
I don't want to keep you too long, and I'm sure Mark has another question or two, but the last thing I have for you is, I don't know why I've always wondered about this when I watch you paint, but what do you have, like, a set of painting clothes, or do you have clothes, like, every time you paint?
No,
what? Think about it. His clothes get covered in paint every time he paints, Mark. What happens to all those clothes? You have just a closet filled with paint-splattered clothes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know how healthy this is. We put them for our washer and dryer, but we put them through there, and they come out fine and clean. Sometimes, like, if I've had a pair of pants for like way too long to paint, and there's like a lot of paint on them, like, you get them out of the dryer and you have to like uncrack them, like,
yeah,
you have to pull them apart from like the paint that's like glued together on there. But yeah, I just, you know, I just run it through the washer and dryer as normal. I mean, since I've been doing this full time since like September of 2018. So like, all my clothes have paint on it. And like, you know, sometimes it's weird to like, you'll show up at an event in a city that nobody knows you in, and they're like, wow, that guy loves attention, because they don't know I'm there to paint. So I like show up to these galas, and I look like, you know, everybody's in suits and ties, and I'm wearing my paint stuff, and they're just like, that is a terrible look. And then I do the painting, and it all makes sense. And, you know, but like at, you know, the Target in North Huntington where I go, it's like, you get some looks here and there. But yeah, I mean, all my clothes have paint on them, except for these pants that I'm wearing right now.
Okay.
We you know, you can show us if you want.
He doesn't need to prove that he has clean pants.
Wants to see his pants.
No paint.
No, I just asked what happens to the paint covered ones. That's all I was asking.
I want to know, what's the biggest crowd you've ever painted in front of? I know you go to some arenas. Is it been 15, 20,000? Has it gotten to that extent yet?
Yeah. I mean, I've done a couple of like intermission shows with the Penguins where, you know, they have like, I don't know what the capacity is. It's like 18,000.
Yeah.
I'd say like, yeah, I've also painted at like Penn State Thon, which was like 18,000 there too. I painted at Formula One in 2022. I was in between, I don't know if I opened for them or open is the strongest word I could have used, but I was like the in between. So like a band would come on and then they would use me on like a B stage so that they could set up for the next person that's like on the A stage.
Right.
I think I like was the in between for like Kygo and Joe Jonas.
Oh, wow.
in Formula One in 2020. So like with the live stream that they did and with everybody in attendance, like I think everybody in attendance was like 25,000 and then everyone on the live stream was like 1.9 million.
That's like what we get here.
Yeah, basically.
And I was terrible. I did a terrible painting that day.
I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, and you're talking about being terrible.
Well, the tough thing was about that gig was I had they supplied the image for me, which was like a little bit tough. It was just like a Formula One car, but like from a sideways angle with like it's called the livery with like basically their branding, like Miami, their branding. And it left a lot of space on the canvas. So I just did the Miami font over top of it. And I did it upside down and I did it in, I think I only had 4 minutes. And they were like, we're going to pull them off the stage in four. Like, you got 4 minutes. So like, sometimes it's like, and you just do what your best, you know, like with 4 minutes, you just do what you can. You're not even thinking, you're just throwing paint up on the canvas and just seeing what happens. I saw a bunch of TikToks of me after that were like critiquing the entire event. And, you know, I was part of the event. And they're just like, so many TikTokers out there, like, I could do this. And I was like, you probably could have for that one. But no, it was, you could find the painting. I mean, you might look at it and be like, oh, yeah.
Your signature hand on the canvas. Has that always been the way you sign it? And what's the story behind that or why you decide to do that?
So like the speed performance painting like genre isn't that old, I wouldn't say. I think it started in like the late 80s with a guy named Denny Dent, and he did it. And then the guy who's at the top of the game right now, like David Garibaldi, he does it. Jared Emerson does it. And it to me, it was like, if you're like in this weird band of like this genre, that's just how you signed your canvases, which is strange to think about now, like now that you've asked, because it's like, well, then how do people know? Do you just like measure each person's hand? And like, oh, well, this hand is like nine inches long. That's Jared, you know?
It's Kenny.
This hand's smaller. It must be Kenny. Yeah.
Yeah. His hand's smaller. It must be Cody's.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we let you run, there are people suggesting on YouTube that Pat McAfee should have you out at his big night at in a couple weeks so you can do a portrait of Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin as stepbrothers. I mean, oh, a hell of an idea.
That's good. Oh, I like that. I always thought Ben looked like Will Ferrell. So I think there's something there. We've wrestled around the idea of like maybe doing something like that. I would love to be at that show. Maybe I'll reach out to like Phil Maines and see if
Phil's right down the road from you.
Yeah. Phil's up in Plum, I think.
Yeah, he
was at 1438.
I can send you. He listens to everything, so he very well could be listening to this right now. So, Phil,
I'm texting you in 5 minutes. Yes. Oh, he is. He just texted me. He said, "Let's make it happen."
Yes.
That's hilarious. Yes. No, he did not. Did he really?
He just did. My phone's still on. That's Phil Maines. I love it. There.
Phil is a legend.
That's so funny.
There we go.
Appreciate you, Phil.
Phil getting is an absolute done. Legend.
I just getting started my done. Kid in hockey on. I texted Phil for advice about how to start my kid in hockey. So, Phil. Appreciate you, man. All over the
place. Well, it's been awesome to catch up with you, Cody. Seriously, thanks for doing this. We appreciate you.
Social media. He has a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah. Or go to CodySableArt.com. You can look at all the stuff. I mean, I'm even going back through and finding stuff that I didn't realize you had done. Like, absolutely everything under the sun. There's the Mario ones get me the most. Like, there's a great Bowser in here that like my kid loves to play Mario Kart. So, like, there's a Kutch, there's a Mean Joe Green. I'm not going to read them all because there's too many, but they're all awesome. Go check them out. Cody Sable Art.
I appreciate you. I love what I do. We're actually about to take it up a notch, a little sneak peek of some stuff in the making. I've found the greatest team of people to be around. That just want to help what I do because I think that they like believe in me. And so shout out to Billy Wareham, the director or the Penguins in-game entertainment guy. Right. He's the man. And Cody Schuckert, the Penguin. Together, they have 14 Emmy Awards. So yeah. Those are my guys. We're gonna take it up a notch, you know.
Just remember us little people when you know, we're on late night TV shows with like Jimmy Fallon and stuff and Seth Meyers.
Oh man. Well, hey, listen, those kind of network shows, that's not what it's about anymore. It's about the podcast and it's about, it's about really studying and getting depressed over YouTube numbers. That's
yeah.
About that.
Yeah, no, I get a text from Kabali every time another 10 people subscribe. He's like, oh, look, we're at 890, 895, 900. I get texts in the middle of the night. And he gets mad that I don't answer.
Once we get to a number, maybe we could get that algorithm in our favor.
Yeah. I will check like my Instagram stats every once in a while, and it'll be like Tuesday, March 21st, you lost 71 followers. I was like, I didn't even post anything. Is that even possible?
Yeah. I don't know. We're all trying to make it happen, Cody. You're doing a great job of it.
Thanks
again, man. We can't wait to catch up with you again soon, and we'll go check it all out. CodySableArt.com. We'll talk to you soon, bud. Take care of yourself.
All right. You guys take care. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. If he actually ends up on stage, Kaboom, during the big night out.
Phil makes things happen. He's the guy that makes things happen.
Phil, make it happen for our guy, Cody, if you're still watching.
Make things happen.
That would be fantastic. Oh, man.
As long as I get a Rudy sub out of the thing, I don't care.
No, oh, nice little pocket heater out of the deal.
Well, that's where it all came from was Phil.
I
Phil's the one that started the pocket sandwich gimmick.
It's a great gimmick. I mean,
well, you know, he gives me a sandwich at 10 o'clock in the morning and I'm watching practice. I'm not going to throw it away. Where am I going to do it? I'm going to put it in my pocket.
In your pocket. What else are you going to do with it?
And I ate it later. I might have had to take the lettuce off because it was getting a little
soggy, a little wilted. Yeah.
Well, I still ate the damn thing.
Thanks to Cody again for coming on. Thanks to Impact HVAC. You need your AC checked before things warm up in the late spring, early summer, or maybe you're still running the furnace some nights because it's chilly hot. By all means, if it kicks and it's not working, do what I did. Had Tony and his guys out here just last week. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They will take care of things for you, whether it's a fix, whether it's an emergency, whether it's just a tune-up or a check. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They'll help take care of you. So here's – I want to get back into quarterbacks. We're over an hour now, but I don't care. I mean, I could have talked to Cody all day.
Yeah, Cody's a good guy, interesting guy. I mean, you would be shocked by the amount of people that – professional athletes that he knows and –
I know he knows. I think he knows Sid fairly well.
Yeah, a lot of Pirates guys as well.
Yeah, and I didn't realize though he was best buds with Spence.
No, I didn't know that too. That was
from Ben's podcast, which means we have to work on. Maybe we'll get Spence on sometime.
Maybe
start to build the universe of a possible Kabali and Matt crossover with footballing. I don't know.
Yeah, like he really needs us.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of quarterbacks, I saw Dan Orlovsky put up like a little tape breakdown of Jackson Dart this morning. And he mentioned the Steelers and I'm going to start doing a mock draft a day by the way, for the next 30 days.
Just pick a quarterback every time.
No, I'm not going to pick a quarterback every time. But last night when I did it, as I was laying there in bed, I did pick Jackson Dart because there was, and I forget, is it the Draft Network, I think, that I did the mock draft through?
No, you're just covering up the whole story here. You're laying in bed doing the mock draft.
What yes.
problem.
Well, I was watching the end of Raw, which I had not watched yet, while doing a mock draft laying in bed. Is that sad?
It's really sad.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason I like this website for their mock drafts is because they'll present you with possible trade scenarios. Like the thing will say, hey, Detroit is offering you 28 and, you know, 59 or whatever to trade up to 21. And so, you know, I take the deal and I slide back to 28. Detroit drafts the edge rusher that they need. And I'm sitting there at 28 and Jackson Dart's still available. I was like, hey, Jackson Dart at 28, I can live with. This all comes back around to Orlovsky posting a film breakdown of Jackson Dart this morning. And great point by Dan that, you know, Jackson's got a great deep ball and the offense was built around him. Here's my concern about drafting, and I like Jackson Dart, maybe not as a first rounder, as a second rounder or third rounder, if they had a second round pick. He's not going to get that far. My point is, how's a young quarterback going to fit into an Arthur Smith offense? Like, especially a quarterback who comes from a system like Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss, where everything's, I don't want to say they may, it's an easy button for the quarterback in that offense, but it's built up to help the quarterback in a lot of ways. Whereas an Arthur Smith offense, I don't want to say it's difficult for a quarterback, but it's sure as hell not built to do some of the things that a Lane Kiffin offense is built to do.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you would want an all-around quarterback if you're getting one at 20 overall, because in 2 years from now, you might have a different coordinator, different scheme, different system, different players that you might not want to be that deep ball thrower. Now you want to go somewhere else. So if you're drafting that high with a quarterback, and I still think Jackson Dart, be honest with you, he probably goes in the top 10. Forget second, third round.
Top 10?
I think he'll end up going in the top 10.
Nine to New Orleans, maybe?
People will get really nervous and draft him. They'll see what the Falcons did with Penix and say, I'm doing that. So everybody, I think, will be on the board at that time. And I don't know if I'd do that. I was just wondering if Dano posted any of the negative throws. It's funny how you only go with the positive throws when you're trying to make your point.
Yeah, he's doing a film breakdown. He's not going to crush that.
But there's negative, because you look at these highlights, they're the best plays of these guys' careers. There's a lot of bad plays as well. So I'm not even thinking about quarterback.
Bubba is on X. He said Milroe. I will say, if you're looking for
third day, that's third day.
Milroe's not going to last until the fourth round. He's not. I'm not a huge fan myself. I was just about to say, if you're looking for negative tape, just go watch the bowl game against Michigan and the first half of it where he was awful. But Milroe's not. He's not going to last past the end of the third round, I don't think. So I don't know if this team really does not think they need a quarterback on the first 2 days. It's probably going to be like a Will Howard, Kyle McCord thing in the fifth round, I don't have to repeat what I've said about that batch of quarterbacks over and over again.
Just go what you got right now. You got Mason. You likely got Aaron Rodgers. And they've been comfortable with turning things over every single year until they find somebody. What's another year? I mean, if you don't feel comfortable with this draft, which it doesn't look like there's going to be a ton of sure bet quarterbacks past maybe the first overall pick, just wait, be patient. Once you reach for Kenny Pickett, it got you in this mess. You know, make sure as possible before you go with it. And I don't think Jackson Dart's a sure bet.
Yeah, I don't think there is a quarterback in this draft that's a sure bet, Cam Ward included. So,
if not, go the route of, you know, bringing in a different veteran next year.
So what's
the guy?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see when the Rodgers thing gets done. It feels like they're willing to just sit and wait at this point, because I mean, Rodgers doesn't have anything to race around for. Like, he knows there's one team that still needs a quarterback. Yeah. And the Steelers are kind of looking at it at this point like, well, there's no other options out there that are better than what we have here. And, you know, they value Mason at least as a backup. But yeah, I mean, this is where we get to the point where this thing really could play out until like June.
And it didn't have to either. I mean, I just saw while we were on with Cody that Jerry Dulac had the report of Russell wanted to sign with the Steelers up until the last minute here, but the Steelers didn't want him. Mm-mm-mm. Well, apparently the Steelers didn't want him, but Russell wanted to sign back here. So it tells you that, you know, they've moved on from him. So they didn't want him. They could have had
him at any point in the last.
And that decision was probably made a couple weeks after Art talked. You know, Art said this during his interview. Man, they didn't even meet yet as an organization yet when Art talked, and that's the problem. What he says ends up not being what they come to as a whole. So it's hard to really hold them on that because they didn't meet as a unit between that point and the end, and between that and maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, they came to the decision is we're just not interested in Russell coming back for whatever reason it is.
Before we run and get out of here, now that we're well over an hour and 10 minutes or whatever it is.
I think about 5% battery left, so I'm good.
Okay, so we'll start to wrap it up. Don't forget, once we get to 1,000 subscribers, and we're up over 900 now, once we get to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we'll take everybody who retweeted the promotional giveaway posts for the Jerome Bettis jersey, throw you into a raffle, and we will give it away to someone. I got it just sitting over here on the shelf waiting to be mailed to you, already boxed up, ready to go.
You can just drop it off at my house. You don't have to.
That's not how this works. I will not let you get your hands on this because then you'll keep it. And that's not how it works. No, that's not the point. The point is to give it away to our fabulous listeners and viewers. Kaboom. Thank you very much.
I'm trying to see how many we need here.
What are we at? Give me a number.
We need about 80 more. Then that would be on its way, baby.
We could do that by the end of the week.
Larry Ehlers ever get his?
Yeah, he got it.
You got it?
You got it. Brian McGee on X says, AB sounds like he trusts his source. He thinks Rodgers is already a Steeler and just not announcing it yet. I'm telling you. The wild conspiracy theory of it getting announced that Pat's big night out is floating around there. And it would be crazy. It would be a little unorthodox for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be involved in something like that. But it also wouldn't shock me. Ask Phil. Does Phil know? Phil.
As I keep saying, everybody that seems like I have any idea, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What is not above your
pay grade? If I did have an idea, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't have any idea.
What is not above your pay grade is a critique of potato patch fries, which you offered yesterday.
No, yesterday. It was this morning while I was taking
it was the morning
business.
What made you think of potato patch fries at 6 a.m.?
I was watching Pat's show yesterday, and they were talking about the
Kennywood,
and he was talking about the potato patch fries. And I'm thinking, whoever gets beef stock gravy is just not a true Pittsburgher, man. You got to go with the cheese, and that's it.
See, I like
beef stock gravy. Ugh.
I like to get it all on the side, and then I can dip into whatever I want.
You're a dipper.
I'm a dipper. Yeah, because here's the problem. You put the cheese on top, everything gets way too soggy, right? Same thing with the gravy. Same thing with the people that like to, you know, spread the ketchup all over. No, I don't need it all over the top. I need it in the cups, the little plastic cups that they have there. And second of all, there's something that needs to be addressed. I think Pat's right. Kennywood is back. If they've in fact been bought by an actual amusement park company, and they
bring back the log jammer.
Bring back the log jammer, but get the steel curtain to work more than every 15 minutes.
I can't fit in any of those things, so I don't even go.
You could do the steel curtain.
Well, I go. I mean, I went on the racer, and then you pull the bar down, and it hits me in the head. It's like, wait a second here. Is this for big, like 105 pounders?
You got big melon there, Kaboom.
No, it doesn't, even come down. It goes
big old melon. It's those traps, too. It's the traps and the melon.
I'm looking at the guy and says, I don't think this is fitting. I mean,
But
what's it made? I mean, I guess it was made in 1910 or whatever, but come on now.
What we all need to agree on. I agree with Pat that Kennywood is the best amusement park in America. But I will say this. They need to build either greater capacity for the potato patch or another one on the other side of the park somewhere. the lines in the middle of the summer, especially on a Kennywood picnic day when there's like four big schools there having their Kennywood picnic, are ridiculous. You wait in line. I waited in the line once for like an hour and a half for potato patch fries. That's while my wife took the kids all over the park and rode everything.
Yeah, that's your problem there. I usually wait. They have about four lines open. I just sneak to the one.
So you cut. You cut in front of
people. Absolutely.
Such a cheat. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of Cabali and Mac. We're at an hour and 15 minutes, which is way too long, but it was worth it to talk to Cody Sable. If you missed any parts of the show, it's posted on YouTube. If you're not watching it there live already, as soon as it's done,
jersey, this rock and roll.
Subscribe. We get to 1,000 subscribers. We'll give away that signed Jerome Bettis jersey tomorrow on social media during the day. We'll get someone else another raffle ticket, thanks to Heck Team Homes and the Dan Heck team, to that Whitehall Fire Company raffle they're doing for the Ford F-150 STX. And also tomorrow night, a Cabali and Mac After Dark edition, kaboom, with another special mystery guest. Should we drop any hints?
Out of the box? I don't even know how to hint this one. He's a true Yinzer too.
True Yinzer, big hockey fan, right?
Big hockey fan.
Massive hockey fan.
He's a very instrumental person of a show that we all watch.
Yes. We'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
See? Well, on the off season, we bring you different things.
We do. Hell yeah.
Characters.
And what everyone in common has in common on this show, we all just want to see the Steelers win our Super Bowl someday. All right. Until next time. No, it's still Brian will not stop. Every time we say we've got a special mystery guest, Brian Garrett, a.k.a. Ponies Burner on YouTube, suggests it's Steve Byrne. It is not Steve Byrne this time.
We have to get Steve Byrne on.
I feel like we owe it to Brian now to get Steve Byrne on. But yes, another special mystery guest tomorrow night on Cabali and Mac. Enjoy your Wednesday afternoon, people. We appreciate your support so much. And we'll talk to you again real soon here on Cabali and Mac.